an appeal in behalf of our work in Scandinavia. Our brethren in Scandinavia are brought into a strait place, but, though this may have been largely the result of mistakes that have been made, let us not now devote time to criticism and complaints. The criticism and complaints and censure will not bring them through the pressure of the strait place. That which is needed now is genuine sympathy and decided help. We should now individually consider that our brethren, who are in trouble, must be helped just now in this time of perplexity and distress. As there is a decided sympathy between heaven and earth, and as God sees fit to delegate angels to minister unto all who are in need of help, we know that when we do our part, these heavenly representatives of omnipotent power will be commissioned to help in this time of special need. God will impress men to whom he has entrusted capabilities and talents of means to take on the burden of responsibility, and at this time help our Scandinavian brethren, that they may save property which otherwise must be sacrificed. This is no time to criticize, but every breath devoted to this matter should be used in speaking words that shall encourage, and every power to actions that shall lift. If those who can will give of their means to help the work in this field, it will be returning to the Lord but a small portion of the mercies and blessings which he has given them. All his gifts are entrusted to us, to be used when he requires his own to carry forward his work in the earth. Shall we not then make an effort, a firm, strong, united effort, helping, not selfishly nor grudgingly, but cheerfully and uncomplainingly? One part of the ministry of heavenly angels is to visit our world and oversee the work of the Lord which is in the hands of his stewards. They are to minister in every time of necessity to those who, as co-workers with God, are striving to the best of their ability to successfully carry forward his work in the earth. These heavenly intelligences are represented as desiring to look into the plan and scheme of redemption, and the angelic hosts rejoice whenever any part of the work of God is in a prosperous condition. God has called human agencies to be laborers together with him in the work of salvation. And shall we, who are ourselves subject to temptation and error, censure and blame others who have been so unfortunate as to make mistakes? Shall we not rather become so transformed by the grace of God as to become compassionate, touched with human woe? This will cause joy in heaven, for in loving our fallen brother as God and Christ love us, we evidence that we are partakers of Christ's attributes. Angels are interested in the spiritual welfare of all who are seeking to restore the moral image of God in man, and the human family are to connect with the heavenly family in binding up the wounds and bruises which sin has made. Angelic agencies, though invisible, are cooperating with visible human agencies, forming a relief association with men. Is there not something stimulating and inspiring in this thought, that the human agent stands as the visible instrument to confer the blessings of angelic agencies? As we are thus laborers together with God, the work bears the inscription of the divine. With what joy and delight all heaven looks upon these blended influences, influences which are acknowledged in the heavenly courts. Human agencies are the hands of heavenly instrumentalities, for heavenly angels employ human hands in practical ministry. Their acts of unselfish ministry make them partakers in the success which is a result of the relief offered. This is heaven's way of administering saving power. The knowledge and actions of the heavenly order of workers, united with the knowledge and power which are imparted to human agencies, relieve the oppressed and distressed. The very angels who, when Satan was seeking the supremacy, fought the battle in the heavenly courts, and triumphed on the side of God. The very angels who from their exalted position shouted for joy over the creation of our world and over the creation of our first parents who were to inhabit the earth. The angels who witnessed the fall of man and his expulsion from his Eden home, are most intensely interested to work in union with the fallen, redeemed race in the development of that power which God gives to help every man who will unite with heavenly intelligences to seek and save human beings who are perishing in their sins. If men will become partakers of the divine nature and separate selfishness from their lives, special talents for helping one another will be granted them. If all will love as Christ has loved, that perishing men may be saved from ruin, oh, what a change would come to our world!
I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
What a representation is this! Can we grasp its meaning?
I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Read also the first chapter of Haggai. It is fitting that all who realize the near coming of the Lord act their faith. When we see one of God's instrumentalities languishing or in peril, let those who are heart and soul in the work manifest their interest. If we would be one in mind and heart with the heavenly intelligences, we can be worked by them. When human agencies, as stewards of God, will unitedly take of the Lord's own substance and use it to lift the burdens resting on His institutions, the Lord will cooperate with them. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me, and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Men are required to receive from the heavenly agencies that they may impart. Whenever the managers of any of God's institutions close their hearts to the dire necessities of sister institutions and do not make every effort possible to relieve them, selfishly saying, Let them suffer, God marks their cruelty, and a time will come when they will have to pass through a similar experience of humiliation. But, my brethren, you do not mean to do this. I know you do not. When one of God's institutions, which is engaged in doing His work, shall, through some lack of judgment on the part of its managers, fall into decay, let those institutions which are in a more prosperous condition do to the uttermost of their ability to lift the cripple institution to its feet, that the name of God be not dishonored. Every facility that we have in Europe for the advancement of the work is needed, and should stand in a healthy, wholesome condition before an ungodly world. Let not the angels of God who are ministering unto those who bear the responsibilities see God's workers disheartened. Already the difficulties have increased by our delay, so that now the work of restoration will require greater labor and expense. In the name of the Lord, we ask His people who have means to arise and realize that God is the owner of all the property which they possess, and prove themselves faithful stewards. Repair the machinery which is essential to carry forward the work of God, that His people shall not become discouraged, and His work left to languish. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. This is the word of the Lord. I cannot think that the closing part of this chapter will be your experience. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as He cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Talk not words of censure, lay not the blame upon this one or that one. It is a fact that there is now need of the help which all can bring to heal the breach that has been made. Do it cheerfully, do it nobly. Come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Redeem at once the institution that is in great peril. This can be done if all will take hold interestedly and redeem this heavily debt-burdened institution. And in doing this, the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. It can be done, and in the name of the Lord, lay hold of it. Let all work with courage and with cheerfulness and with joy. And this very work will prove a great blessing in the experience of all who lay hold of it and carry it through successfully. There is a great work to be done in Europe. All heaven takes an interest not only in lands that are nigh and that need our help, but in lands that are afar off. All the inhabitants of heaven are in active service, ministering to a fallen world. They take a deep and fervent interest in the salvation of men, the fallen inhabitants of this world. These heavenly beings are watching and waiting for human agencies to be deeply moved over their fellow workmen who are in perplexity and trial and sorrow and distress. Human agencies are called to be hand helpers, to work out the knowledge and use the faculties of heavenly angels. By uniting with these powers that are omnipotent, we shall be benefited by their higher education and experience. The Lord's entrusted talents will be efficacious if used to do the work entrusted to His institutions, that they may stand again in independence. All heaven is watching those agencies that have been as the hand to work out the purposes of God in the earth, thus doing the will and purpose of God in heaven. Such a cooperation will accomplish a work which will give honor and glory and majesty to God. There is a large work to be done for souls in Scandinavia. Let no hand become slack or palsied when you have the assurance that angels whose home is in the pavilion of the eternal, in the presence of God, and who see the glory of God, are your helpers. Will you cooperate with them in building up every institution, doing God's service under the supervision of the angelic ministration?
Who can understand the value of the human souls for whom their prince, their king, the Son of the infinite God, gave his spotless life to a shameful death, to save all who should believe on him? If all understood this as they should, what a work would go forth from their hands in most earnest, persevering efforts to go deeper than they have ever gone before, because through the Holy Spirit's working, they may, with the influence of their voice and their talent of means, lead many souls to escape the chain of darkness and the hellish plottings of Satan, and become washed from their sins in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, let the work go on deeper and still deeper. Angels in heaven rejoice to see sinners repent and turn to the living God. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ellen G. White, St. Helena, California, November 20th, 1900.